I'm Bob, I'm an addict.
Hey, Bob.
And I kind of asked myself, these guys just heard me in Evansburg. I wonder why they keep asking me to speak up there. Last time I spoke up here, Dennis, one of my friends, Dennis Haggerty, was with me. We talked about history. And after it was over with, and he asked me what I thought, you know, what I liked best about the meeting, and I said, the people up here, I just like the people up here, just warm and respectful. I'm not saying you're better or less than, but it's different than being in the city, around city people. I just felt warmer the last time I spoke up at that last meeting. And I've spoke before, I think, at the retreat. I was emotionally crippled then. But wish you could tell somebody else's story. I mean, you guys heard me before. I don't know. How many people here have never heard me? There we go. Thanks. It makes me feel better. It's like speaking to your kid sometimes. Yeah, Dad, I know that story. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't drink. Don't smoke weed. I've had the opportunity to... I just turned 63 in July. And I've had the opportunity, the privilege to be clean 41 years of them, 63 years. And I say that, I wish I could give myself credit and you credit for that. But I have to give it to God. It's by His grace and mercy that I'm still alive and still clean today. He works through me, and I believe He works for us through NA, you know. This journey I've been on for 41 years is incredible. I think I've changed and learned more in the last 8 years of my recovery. Let's see, 35, 40, eight years of my recovery than I did the first bunch of years. And I say that because I've had more storms. I've had more pain. And from my experience, I've never really learned what I know clean now. I've learned more through storms and pain than I've ever learned. Because any time I was in a situation clean or in the streets, it was just hustle, cop, get off. I mean, I'm not going to bore you with them stories. I mean, we all know how to do that. It says he just read it. We're not interested in that. We're not interested in that at all. Sometimes this one guy I sponsor, he's a preacher too. He gets on this thing and he can see the vein in his neck sticking out sometimes. I said, Sammy, you're singing to the choir. I know. We all know that. You know, it's what do we want to do about, what do I want to do with my problem? How you guys can still help me, even though you don't have 41 years. My sponsor is George Jones. He has 25 years. It has nothing to do with how long you've been clean. It really doesn't. There's people that speak here that have... I go to discussion meetings, more discussion than anything. I learn more from people... I'm not just saying this to say it. I learn more, and the people that have been clean, hardly clean at all, I've learned so much from them. Just watching them, and I watch how God works in their life, because I see myself in them when they say to just follow what we have to say. And there's a lot of times you see them, they don't want to believe you, they don't want to trust you. And that's the way I was when I first got clean. But I remember a guy standing in that treatment center up in the mountains. And he said, half this room's going to be dead, drunk, using, or in prison next year at this time. When he said half that room, I said, it's not going to be me. I'm going to listen to every word this man tells me. He said, there's six ways to stay clean. If you do these six things, there's no way that you'll have to go back to the way you were living. See, because I still wanted to get high because I didn't have any other thought, or I didn't know anybody that was an addict, a junkie, that was clean until I got to that treatment center. And there was a few people that I seen in there that had been there and had just recently got out of the treatment center. And they would come back to the meeting or to the rehab. They had outside, I guess now we call them H&I meetings. And back then there was no H&I, and there was no H&I. I don't think there was anyway. And when they came back, I seen a couple guys I used to get high with. And that was the hope. That was the hope. I learned things in treatment, six ways to stay clean and what addiction was. All that other stuff didn't mean anything to me. The reason why you drank and used drugs because your mother had square nipples. Okay, I understand. I didn't identify with any of that stuff, and I still don't identify with that stuff. What I identify with is when someone comes in a room and you can see the sweat, the stink, the stench, the pain, and I walk up to them and I put my arms around them and it freaks them out. And you say to them, it's okay, man. Have a cup of coffee. You know. And I'll never forget that feeling that I had when I just knew. Looking back on it, I didn't know it then, but I just felt when I walked through that threshold, when they picked me up at the bus station, looking back on it, I can't tell you that I didn't feel this then. I mean, I felt it, but I didn't know what it was. I haven't had the obsession. I haven't had the obsession to use anything from that day until now. That's a blessing, and I'm not bragging when I say that. It's God's grace and mercy for me. See, because I know a lot of people over the years that have struggled in and out, in and out. I don't know how I would have reacted if I would have had that obsession, that screaming noise in my head about just using. Because when I used the drug, it was like, I don't know if anybody watches them, you know, racetrack strip, you know, the quarter mile, and when a tree goes down, the staging lights, and you got one of those funny cars or one of them power dragsters that when they hit the gas pedal, that's the way I got high. And at the end of that racetrack, there's no parachute, there's a brick wall. And that's where it was clean, too. I'll talk about that in a minute, with other things. When they told me that I didn't have to live that way anymore, that's basically, because I remember when I was using, some of the things that didn't make sense to me was, like when I took an air conditioner out of the wall in my dad's house, the first thought was, well, if I take that air conditioner out of that wall, I'm going to get my ass beat. Next thought was, so what? Next thought was, here he comes. You know, I mean, it was just the way it was. I didn't care. I did not care. I beat the biggest, baddest guy on the street because I knew I didn't have to get into this long story and this beat somebody with formaldehyde on it for a week. I mean, it's just. And then a week or two later, they caught up with me, and sometimes they caught me, and sometimes they didn't. So when I went to the county jail for whatever I did, when I was in there, they didn't have any AA, NA, G, nothing. They had nothing. They had ethnic orientation. And then we fought over what we were going to watch, Don Kirshner Rock Concert or Soul Train. You know what we watch, right? And see, I wouldn't tell my buddies, but that's what I wanted to listen to anyway. Because that's the kind of music I like. You know, that's me. So, but I would tell them different. And I acted a certain way. So, I got my time, but it doesn't matter how much time I got. But the time I got, every once in a while they call you in front of the judge. And they said, do you have anything? You know, we were all chained together or shackled or handcuffed or I can't remember. And everybody said, the judge would say, do you have anything to say for yourself? And they all said no. And they'd give like 3 more months in the county. And they got to me and I said, I got a lot to tell you. I'm never going to do it again. And I believed it as much as I'm sitting here telling you. As much as I'm sitting here, I will never do it again. I went, well, how are you going to do that? Well, I went to this ethnic orientation meeting. I mean, that's the only thing I could tell them. There was nothing else to tell them. I got a job, you know, working. I was a Marlechna. I was working at the Host Farms down there. I was a sous chef down there. And so anyway, the judge said, your parole is effective immediately. From the time that noise went from his desk to my ear, who's holding? See, that's us. That's how we think. That's scary. It's frightening. That's why we need to stick together, and that's why I believe that we need to hold each other accountable. That's why I think that we need to be in a circle of people that's going to hold us accountable. Whether it's, you know, I mean, I have a couple accountability groups. And one is with my addiction and recovery, and I have another support group that I go to that holds me accountable in other ways. Although there's some of us now that are, we're switch hitters, what I call switch hitters. And I'm not going to get into all that right now, but those men have supported me as much as, if not more than, people in NA. I would not be living clean right now if it wasn't for those men. Clean. Nice car. After I got out of the treatment center, I relocated to Williamsport. My relocation was a brown paper bag. What I had going for me was I had nothing. I had absolutely nothing. Nothing. I mean that in the truest form. So if you don't have anything like I didn't have anything, you got that going for you. You don't have no responsibilities. All you got to do is go to meetings, get a sponsor, a home group, and start looking for work. You know, that's what I did. And they only had one meeting each day, and some of those meetings during that week's period, you had to go a distance, like from Williamsport to Allenwood. And it was only 13 miles, but still, not having a car was difficult to get there. But they didn't have to ask me. I was on the road as soon as I got off work with my thumb on 15. Back then, they picked you up. Now you got Uber. You have to get a bunch of guys together to get an Uber. The guys at my house, they Uber together. They want to get out. They'll get to go to the other side of town. Times changed. And then I got a job at that treatment center as a cook, and then they made me the chef. And then I met a girl in recovery. And when you worked at that treatment center, it was a pretty strict place. You weren't even allowed in the same car with a female. You got fired, just like that. Even if you were giving her a ride, huh? And they found out, you'd lose your job, just like that. I'm not saying I agree with that, but that's the way it was. So I met this girl, and I quit. They weren't firing me. They said... the unwritten rule is you have to have a year clean. What's that magic date? So on my anniversary night, I hooked up with this girl. I didn't care what she had. I had a year. She had like, I don't know how many months, but that's how I ended up in the Pittsburgh area. And Beaver County. That's where I moved to. She was from Beaver County. And at the time, there was no NA in... From Williamsport probably to, I don't know how far west. There, you know, I don't know. I'm sure there's some people here who will tell you the history of that. So I went to AA. I kept my eyes open for people just like you and me. And there was three guys I put under my wing. And we sat down, and May 10th of 78, we started the first NA meeting in Aliquippa. So that kept me busy for a while. I can't tell you that there's people here that know this feeling, this fullness that I feel when I get involved, whether it's after this shuts down, help cleaning up, or getting here early and setting up. I get a sense of, it fills me up, it fills my heart up, my spirit. And that's the way it's always been with me being involved in my home group. I still set up my home group, make the coffee. Meeting starts at 7:30. I'm there at 6. I'd probably get there earlier, but the door's locked. And it's controlled by a computer, so I'd probably get there earlier. In most cases, I'm the last one out the door, unless I'm out doing something somewhere in recovery or some other commitment I might have, working or whatever. So I met my wife. We got married. That girl and I got married, and we stayed married for about a year. I stayed in Beaver County area. My recovery was, I just stayed involved all the time. My time flies. I mean, it just seems like it happened not that long ago, to be honest with you. And it wasn't until I met my wife that I was married to for 20 years, who I met in recovery also. And she had a child that I adopted, and we had a child together. And for me, I had fun. I had a lot of fun. And one day she came home and said that she wanted out and she wanted a divorce. And I can only tell you it was like someone took a sledgehammer and hit me in the chest. Because everything I was about was being clean, Narcotics Anonymous, and my family. In that order. Serving God. I believed that I was serving God. I knew God. I have a relationship with God. And it was through the pain with that divorce and, you know, I had Hep C, second round of Hep C. They do sonograms. And that's when they were still doing the interferon and all that stuff. And it was like 48 weeks, almost a year each time. In August of 13, the doctor called me in and they said that you have terminal liver cancer and you're going to die in 18 months. And he put this thing on the screen and showed me the tumors. He said, you have 4 tumors and this is the one that's going to kill you, the vascular tumor. He said, make a bucket list because you only have about 18 months. And I have, you know, cirrhosis and all, you know, all that stuff, whatever. It don't bother me. But when he said that, and I was a single father, my son was with me 24/7, and I'm not getting into the details about that because, you know, I personally felt that I hit the lottery when I met that woman. And I have respect for her, and she did the best she could, and halfway across the river, she decided she went out, and that's her business. And it was me. I had to adjust my life without that family. You know, people say, it's okay, it's going to be the same. No, it's never the same. I'm here to tell you, it's not the same. From the day I moved out till this day, which was almost 6 years, we haven't said one cent to each other, for whatever reason. And that's okay. I've accepted that. I forgave myself for the things that I owned in that relationship, which was freeing, which was very quickly, and I healed very quickly with that. Instead of she, this, that, I turned it to me. What could I have done differently? From step work. So when that doctor said that, my son was still in high school, and they were recruiting him to play football. He ended up at Slippery Rock. And but when he was still in high school, I had this, you know, I just had this fear, you know, because I was really all he had. And so my prayers, and at the time I was involved with a men's group too, and these guys lifted me up like I've never been lifted up before. I can honestly say, when I was like, I mean, there was times I wanted to commit suicide. I mean, it was so overwhelming. wasn't that poor me stuff. It was like I knew the pain I was in was going to dissipate and it was going to go away because I could see the other side. I could see the light on the other side, but I didn't want to go through it. I had enough. I said, I had enough. And the only thing that kept me there, I believe, is God and my son. Just, you know, I just couldn't visualize someone telling him that, you know, your dad hung himself. You know, I just couldn't, or blew his head off. I mean, I just couldn't. I just didn't want him to, you know, hear all that stuff. And I'm so glad I didn't. I'm so oh, man. Because what happened was, I believe, that God was trying to get my attention through that pain. He was saying to me, focus towards me. Over this way, Bob. Over this way. And I believe that there's a song that says he gives and he takes away. And when I heard that song then, I would cry like a little baby, you know. But I don't want him to take this. Well, he took it. And it was, you know, it was a painful process. But now I'm on the other side of it, and I went through that with the help of my... So when I got through the first hurdle, just about towards the, right, almost toward the end of it, is when they told me about the cancer. He said, we're going to start treatment this week, or next week. I said, whoa, slow down, buddy. Let me find out if there's other options here. Not other opinions, because I've seen the MRI. I've seen it on the screen. So I went over to the expert over in another hospital, in Montefiore, and world-renowned guy. He put the thing on the screen, and all the people around him, that, you know, all the experts, and he said, you don't have 4 tumors, dude. You got 20. You got 20 tumors, and that's the one that's going to kill you right there. This guy's been doing it for a long time. And all the, you know, and I sat there. And it wasn't like the first time they told me, because the shock was already over, and I had already been turned towards God and asking and praying. You know, I couldn't sleep. So my relationship with him, see, before I knew God, I knew him from the steps and working and talking to people. But now it was like I had a relationship with him, just like I'm talking to you right now. That's how I talk to God. Not in the mornings and night, all day long. All day long. When I was in the men's group in the beginning, what kept me coming back is like when I first got clean in the program, when they would say, do this, and this is what's going to happen, and I didn't trust them. And then I would do it, and then, boom, they were right. It's like, oh, yeah, this works. What do you mean don't go in the bar to buy a pack of cigarettes? I never drank that much. I was shooting dope. They said, my sponsor said, listen, did you ever go to a whorehouse to shake hands? Oh, I get it now. I talked in street terms. I didn't know then. You know, it's not like that now. You don't have to talk to me like that. I get it now. So, he said, we're going to do some tests on you. We're going to do a blood test. He came back. He said, well, you know what? Let me do a biopsy. He did a biopsy. One of them ones you're still awake and watching him do it. And he came back. He said, you know what? I'm not comfortable. I'm going in. So I had a 2-hour surgery, and they attacked all the tumors. And this is an 8-week process. And within these eight weeks, I can't tell you how intimate I got with my relationship with God. I can't tell you. I felt, I could feel people praying for me from Haiti up to here. I mean, not here, but I mean, in Indiana. I'm talking to my friends, people that love me. There's people that, I mean, I've said to people, I'll pray for you, and never prayed for them. But these people were praying, like I pray for people now. I changed my whole thought. I changed the whole way I pray. If I had to do anything different in my recovery, anything, I would pray more. I'll tell you, pray more. Prayer works for me. So, in them 8 weeks, I literally felt like he, not all the time, I felt like he was right beside me, and he's like, I got this. I never once prayed for him to take the cancer away. Never once prayed for anything other than his will, like the 11 steps talked about. Only he could and would, if we were sought, we got to seek him out. So that's what I did. Praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry it out. The stuff's all right in front of me. All I have to do is pay attention. I'm talking after you're clean 35 years. This work, I mean, the things that people tell you with a year, 6 months, 2 years, 4 years, whatever, have to pertain to things you guys do. I mean, I don't have anything over you guys. We all got up today. All we have is right now. And if anybody knows that, I do. Because I've watched so many people. We lost like 4 guys last week that come to my home group, overdose and died. Not home group members, but people that are, you know. So, I went into this after 8 weeks. It was on December 9th. This one book I read, NA doesn't endorse it, but I read it. So, if you don't like it, I'm sorry. It's called Grace for the Moment by Max Lucado. And it says to me, I mean, this is after I read Just for Today, my basic text. I've got a bunch of books I read now. It says, is my grace enough for you? If someone tells you that you have cancer today and you're going to die, is my grace enough for you? I underline it in red with an exclamation point, and I want to see the doctor. I went in front of all the whole team of doctors, and they said, it's not cancer. You're not going to die. So, it's hard to say. I mean, I can't tell you. There's some guys that were in my men's group, and one, he was an oral surgeon, and he misdiagnosed. Really, is that what you think? I don't know how you take it, Doc, but this is how I got it. And I've been wired from the time I've got plugged in. It's kind of like when you're in this program, you're on the program, sponsor, home group, meetings, helping people, H&I, whatever your thing is, I'm plugged in. And there's no unplugging me. There's no unplugging me. See, because I stay close to the rock that I stay close to the people that care. There's a few women in my life too. There's a woman in my life that my son's best friend's mother. She's not in recovery. She was a rock for me. She was there for me, for my son. And she was there for me when I was sick. The steps teach me to how to have a more meaningful, intimate relationship with. And I'm not talking about men. I'm talking about women. I'm talking about men. How I can love another man into my life, and we can help each other and hold each other up. There's no better relationship that I've had other than Christ is to have a relationship with a guy that I know cares about me and got my back, you know, and I got their back. And I got all this because of Narcotics Anonymous, 100%. I mean, God's grace, but because all the steps, we all know where the steps come from, right? Does everybody know where they come from? Scripture. Nobody ever told you that, I'm telling you. And for a guy, after you're clean a while, like, I mean, the higher power, for me, it's like, well, what's that mean to you, Bob? And when I'm alone, it's like, I needed to get deeper. And the longer you stay clean, you got to grow or you're going to go. I don't know if anybody ever told you that, but when I was in that treatment center, there was a creed that if you ain't growing, you're going. If you ain't praying, you ain't staying. I'll stay clean and sober if my balls fall off. The name of the group is a hard-ass group, and I'll never forget them days. If you can be as hard-ass in your recovery as you were in the streets, there's nothing going to stop you. The fire that I had On July 12th of 75, I got the same fire. As a matter of fact, it's more intense now because it means more. Now, what helped me with that relationship was, the other thing that helped me was, the other part of my life that it's pretty cool is, those 6 years I was alone. And I had a key to the church. My friend Tun Shilkin gave me a key to go into the weight room. And when she told me she wanted the divorce, from 3:30 in the morning until probably 6:30, I'd be on the machines and stuff, but it would start out in a black room, and I'd be on my knees praying for about 20 minutes. My first prayer was always, I have this void in my life. I had this hole in my life, clean, 35 years. I want you to fill that void for me, please, Lord. Please. Because she failed me. People have failed me. Before, clean. I keep putting the wrong things in that void. And one day at a time, he filled that void. Like it's never been filled. Like it's never been filled. And for 6 years, man, I've been working on that. And I tell you what, man, I wouldn't change. I'm not turning back. I'm going to keep going forward. And it's changed my spirit. It's changed my outlook. My family would be embarrassed when I go into Giant Eagle. If the cashier would be a little bit slow, I'd have this sarcastic response. I was mean. I was mean. I was a mean person. Obnoxious, arrogant. People in the program, I could see. I'm telling you what, man. Just stay clean, and you'll see what I'm saying. You grow or you go here. And God has my attention today. I met a woman, and kind of blessed me away. I never thought I'd feel like this again about another person. And she's real special to me. And she's a lot younger than me. She's been clean 8 years, too. Very special woman. And she's on fire, man. She's a friggin' knockout. And for those guys, when you're sitting alone and you think, because I know I've did this 35 years clean, where I thought it wasn't worth living. Clean. House, car, job, 18 apartments owned, recovery, car. I mean, that I have today, I can honestly say to you, I don't have one want. There isn't anything I want. And that's because of the journey that I've been on for the last 8 years. And that's such a peaceful. I have joy in my life today. Today, when I'm in line, and I hear people ahead of me, and I can see the guy in front of me, he wants to choke the lady, you know, because she's not moving as fast, you know. Or if someone serves me a meal, and I used to say, "Yeah, this meal sucks. It's cold." Or today, I say, "You know what? It's fine. It's fine." Well, why didn't you eat it all? Because I'm full. I'm full. I had enough. Thanks. You want to take some home with you? No, that's okay. That's what I'm saying. It's only because God's grace and because of Narcotics Anonymous and my relationship, the relationship that I have, the trip that I took from here to here, it's a long trip. For me, it was. And I'm afraid that if I was sitting in that garage when I was sitting on that tractor, I think it was 2010 in the morning, I guess, and there was a nylon rope sitting there. I was just sitting there just saying, I'm done. I had enough. I had enough. And the phone rang. It was Mickey Graziani. His nickname was Lightning. He did about 18 years. He got the message of recovery at Rockview. Thought Tally, Timmy Harris. This guy never called me. He's the godfather of my son. He said, "Bob, what's going on, man?" And I just busted out crying. I'm so glad I didn't do it. I'm so glad. I mean, I wasn't even thinking about using it. I mean, and I think God I don't take any credit for that. I think God, like, took that obsession away from me. He removed that way from day one. I don't know what I'd do. There's people that I wish I could give all 41 years of my clean time to. I see people struggling in pain, and they really want this program. I mean, there's some nitwits that come in, and they talk. They're sitting in the back. They're not sitting up front. I mean, we got them guys. I mean, it's okay. I'm not saying I'm better than them. I'm just saying, you know, the guys that really struggle. They pick up and they don't get this. I wish I could give all 41 years, because I'd do it, because all I got is right now. That's all I have, really. I'm serious. I don't want to brag about it, but 41 years don't mean nothing if I don't have... What I did 41 years ago ain't going to keep me clean today, right? Am I right? And if you don't give it away, I promise you, you will lose it. So... I say this, I'm not trying to lecture. Like, I see meetings where they have those, I don't know what they call them, love lines or whatever the hell they call them. What I want to, I watch people sometimes. I watch how God works in their lives, but I also watch them lines. At the meetings, everybody's watching you hug people. And that newcomer goes out the door. How many people are going over there to get their number and call them on the phone? I had a guy talk to me like that one time. I had a guy talk to me. We're standing in a circle of my men's group. And some girl walks by and says, "Oh, she got a nice..." Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And the dude turned and said, "Do you know that's someone's wife? Do you know that's someone's daughter?" I just think about that. My hair stands up. My view, my whole entire view has changed towards women, completely. I'm not only clean, I'm clean here, and I'm working on here. You know, sometimes I feel like I got to say that word, you know, whatever it is. I don't know why I say it. Not to feel important, because I don't want to feel important. It's just trash. The trash comes out of my mouth. Where's the trash at? It's not here, it's here. I have to get rid of that. One day at a time, I'm going to get there, just for a day. I want to thank you for listening. Thanks.